following are the words of Noel DiGirolamo, president of the Suffolk County Police Benevolent Association.
Police officers are already being targeted for assassination. Releasing their personal information to criminals will only further endanger them. Stand with law enforcement. Defend the police.
Your Island, live and local, with your host, Tom Shalero, on 103.9 LI News Radio.
And once again, welcome back, and as we're moving towards that 2 o'clock hour. And as promised in the beginning of the program, I said the great Dr. Rajiv Fernando is going to be with us, as he's been. Many of you got to know him over the last year, a little over a year now, that Dr. Fernando has come on the program and enlightened us with some very valuable, valuable information. And let me tell you something. He's one of Long Island's leading doctors, without a doubt, not only here on Long Island, but in the country. And this man has no boundaries. And I heard this morning that he was actually in Brazil. Dr. Fernando, tell us about Brazil. What the heck is going on over there?
Hi, Tom. Thank you. And good afternoon, Long Island. How's it going today? I was in Brazil for the day yesterday. We were handing out masks and areas called favelas, which are the slums in Sao Paulo, Brazil. This is currently the epicenter of the world right now. This is really because things like the president over there, for example, has really been going against people getting vaccinated. For example, one of the things he said in the press was, if you get vaccinated, you might turn into a crocodile. That's one of his famous quotes over there. Obviously, a lot of his supporters are indeed concerned that they might turn into crocodiles, and so a lot of vaccine hesitancy over there. Along with this, there's just been a very poor vaccination rollout. Only 10% of Brazilians are vaccinated. And the last thing I really want to say, obviously I don't want to precipitate any anti-Asian hate, but the Sinovac, the Chinese vaccine, which was, they had put down in their data that it was about 81% successful. It turns out only 50% successful against the Brazil variant. And so a lot of people are actually getting a vaccine, which really doesn't have enough efficacy to cover them.
You know, Doc, you are traveling around, and I know you and I have spoken, and this COVID-19 pandemic is not confined to American borders. So the countries that you're visiting, and particularly Brazil, as you're saying, which is the epicenter right now, that has an effect on us. Is that true?
Well, absolutely, Tom. The thing is, this is a pandemic, and when other countries in the world are not doing well, it's a matter of time before that seeps into the United States as well. So that's why it's called a global pandemic. And other countries, when they suffer, for example, Mexico is right here. Their borders are currently open. 2 weeks ago, I actually walked into Mexico from Harlingen. We walked across the border. We were giving out masks to the migrant population over there. And it's just so easy to go in and out, actually. Just show your passport. You walk in, no questions. Nothing. And then, of course, Brazil is also very close. Both these countries have direct flights to the U.S. So it's very, very concerning that, it's just a flight away. These variants, this new Brazil variant is very, very dangerous, and I'm deeply concerned.
Yeah. You know, America has become almost like a tale of two cities. On one part, we're hearing 25% of American adults have been vaccinated. Certain states, they're doing an incredible job with getting the vaccine in the arms of Americans. But on the other hand, we're seeing an increase. And we're hearing doctors out there saying that it's not over yet, that it is getting worse, there might be another surge. Who do we believe? Because I had thought if we got to 25%, which is what we're close to getting to right now, and that we could start to breathe a little easier. Right now, I'm still a nervous wreck, Doc. I mean, you tell me.
Sure, I'm happy to break it down. So as you pointed out, close to 25% of Americans are fully vaccinated. We do have other populations. The vaccine hesitancy is still pretty high. For example, about 40% of Marines in America, they refuse to get the vaccine, just for example. The other thing is the cases are actually going up. A few weeks ago, we were hovering at 50,000 on a seven-day average. Right now, we're at 70,000. The cases are going up. But the good news right now, Tom, is the people who have gotten vaccinated there, most of the elderly people have gotten vaccinated at this point, and that's why where they're protected, and that's why we're seeing a decreased number of deaths. The cases that I'm seeing across the country, most of them are ranging between in the 30s to the 50s, and these are people who haven't gotten vaccines. So I urge the public to go out and get vaccinated, this age group. Kids also are having, they're increasing cases in kids. The Pfizer's vaccine is actually shown to be 100%, show 100% efficacy in age groups from 12 to 15. So they're on the verge of an EUA, emergency approval. I hope that goes through and we'll be able to cover another age group as well.
Yeah. You know, going back to the vaccination, I read that same statistic, 40% of United States Marine Corps members, service members, are not, don't want to get vaccinated. Is that indicative of something? I mean, some people may say, well, if you're in the military, you have somewhat of a conservative philosophy. Do you think it has anything to do with politics? Because I'm trying to put a finger on it to figure out what would be the hesitancy. The way I seem pretty damn safe, considering millions upon millions of people have gotten it over the last, since November, December, that it seems to be working. Why would people be somewhat hesitant?
Well, I'm not going to make any comments from a political perspective, but really I want to point it out to the public that we have gone through vigorous trials in the United States before we've given out our vaccines. For example, we were talking about the Sinovac from China, which was actually given to its military. It was compulsory. It was given to its military population without any data whatsoever. And now China's vaccines are in about 60 countries across the planet with only 50% efficacy. Now let's go back to the United States where this was very, very well done. The Operation Warp Speed was very well done. They were all double-blinded trials. You know, safety was taken into consideration. And here we are, 1 year later, we have two brilliant vaccines, and of course now the addition of Johnson & Johnson. So these vaccines are extremely safe, and that's the advantage, and that's why I want people to understand that how important it is to get vaccinated.
You know, in the case of China, it's a great lesson in the authoritarian regimes. The mere fact that they could put something out there, not tested as much as it should have been, or if it was tested at all, and the mere fact that it's not as good as the American vaccine, or at least the vaccine that was put together by some of the great minds of our allies and so on. I think that's important to mention. Getting back to Long Island, where do you think we stand on Long Island right now in terms of COVID-19?
Well, one of the things, like I mentioned earlier, about there are 70,000 infections every on a 7-day average. About 40 to 45% of those cases are really related to certain states. Michigan, of course, tops everything right now. But New York is right in there in the top five states, which are driving close to 45% of the infections. So we're not out of the woods. It's also very important to understand that people, once they get vaccinated, this I see very commonly where they get vaccinated and they think it's all over. But remember, it takes 2 weeks for immunity to kick in. And during those 2 weeks, remember, COVID has an incubation period. When I say incubation period, it means the time between getting infected and actually declaring symptoms. So that has about a five days. It's plenty of time for, you know, a COVID infection to happen despite getting vaccinated. So I urge everyone to, you know, still mask up, get and use other social distancing as well.
Okay, I'll use myself as an example. My second of the Moderna vaccine is due next Wednesday. Where do I stand right now? Almost in between. I only have another 8 days for the second shot, the second booster. I'll be fully vaccinated then. As of right now, do I stand a good sense of immunity?
Yeah, you get a certain degree of immunity after the first dose. But it's really important. The second dose is what we call a booster dose. And the booster dose is something which gives you a high amount of antibodies, good quality antibodies after the booster dose. So, of course, you're off to a good start with your first vaccine, but the booster dose is really what changes everything, and that's really important. Another thing I want to point out, which is very good in the United States, and that's why I want to talk about confidence in the vaccine. Now, across the world, many countries, they just don't have the vaccines to distribute. So, for example, The vaccine company says we'll give it, you know, one dose right now, the second in 2 weeks. Countries based on, because a lot of times there's shortages, they give it, you know, in 4 weeks or 8 weeks, and they push the limits, but nothing like that in the United States. You know, our scientists have done a wonderful job, and the government is doing great. For example, we had 4.6 million doses given on Saturday, which is, you know, certain countries haven't even given 100 doses in their entire 2 months. So just to put that in perspective, you know, I think we're doing a great job, this current government. Our scientists have been brilliant. And we've all done well to keep our public safe, which is very important for vaccine confidence.
Is that what motivates you? Because I'm always hearing you're this place, you're at that place, that you are getting involved outside this country. What motivates you to do that? I mean, it certainly takes a lot of time, a lot of effort, a lot of personal sacrifice to be that involved in this pandemic.
Yeah, I get Sundays off. So last weekend I was in Mexico, and this Sunday I was in Brazil. But I really, like I mentioned, it's really a pandemic. So when the rest of the world is losing, you know, America, it's a matter of time where America loses as well. So it's really important to, you know, stress on, you know, taking care of the whole planet. And I think with the number of vaccines we're doing in the States, I think we should also start thinking about how we can help the rest of the world. For example, it may be an ethical situation for a physician where you say, you know, you have someone who's 80 years old, let's say in Peru, with a compromised immune system, multiple comorbidities. Do you say, hey, let's give this 80-year-old guy in Peru a vaccine, or do you want to give a 12-year-old kid in the States a vaccine? So these are ethical concerns which we really should start thinking about and say, this is a good time for America to once again regain its stature as a global leader by, you know, being charitable, showing love to other countries. And I'm hoping that's what the pattern the United States actually shows eventually.
You know, again, many people are asking, well, is this a one-time deal? I get my two shots, I'm finished. But now I'm hearing 6 months, 8 months, you're going to have to get it again. Is that true? Because if that's the case, we're going to be at this forever.
Well, there are a lot of vaccines that are trialing a third dose, actually, to see whether it's necessary. And we're still learning about this. Now, for example, Brazil really has 92 variants. The only one we talk about right now is the single one, which is called, as in Paul, P1. But there are going to be many more variants, and that's the problem. Whenever mankind makes one step forward, the virus takes three steps forward. And so we're always behind the virus, and it's unpredictable how it mutates. So it's really important to, you know, despite getting vaccinations, to maintain your mitigation responses as well.
Is it going to become like the flu shot? You can go down to your local CVS every November, December, get the flu shot and also get the COVID-19, whatever the booster may be or whatever the vaccine may be. And follow up on what you just said, can we assume that they will keep up on the latest strain so that the vaccine that you get every year will qualify itself?
That's the way it certainly seems, and I feel at some point COVID-19 will become endemic on this planet. I mean, it's just definitely not going away. So that's certainly a possibility. Right now, the data we have with vaccination is that some of the mRNA vaccines give you at least 6 months of protection. So we just have to. It's still early, so we're still, you know, we need to follow up and see the final how long it actually gives immunity. But I'm hopeful it'll give at least anywhere between 9 months to 12 months of protection. So it needs to be studied further.
When we had first gotten started coming on the radio show, like you did, I guess it was sometime in March, was there any way that you could have foreseen where we are today, about 12 months later, 13 months later, in terms of the conversations that we were having and where we're at? It just seems everybody always kept changing on this, that we were so much in the dark. Do you feel that that's really what happened here?
My God. You know, when I visited Wuhan, China, in last January, there were 48 cases in the world. And there's no way I could have predicted this kind of thing. I'm going to be upfront with you. But, you know, I was there, 48 cases, and here we are with 30 million cases across the planet. You know, so, yes, there's no way anyone could have predicted that.
You know, when we do think about it, let's hope it all works out for all of us. And when we start to, I'll leave you with this. I'll leave you with a comment. Light at the end of the tunnel. Everybody's saying now we're going into the summer months, and We said that last year, and it didn't. It had a little bit of an effect, but not a lot. Is that going to mean a little bit more now?
I'm glad you mentioned that. There certainly is light at the end of the tunnel, but things could change very quickly. And there should be, I agree, there should be optimism, but not like when we have states in the country like Michigan, Pennsylvania, ourselves, still having a rapid number of cases. Remember, a baseline of 70,000 cases a day is not a good baseline you want to be at. You know, we're talking 10,000 around that range. You can say, well, we're in control. But 70,000 cases across the country, for me, by any means, it does not mean it's being controlled right now. So we're still in the acute. My advice to all our listeners are, you know, if you're in your 30s and 50s, go out there and get vaccinated. Because remember, you guys are probably driving, actually not probable, the statistics show that people in their 30s and 50s up to this age group are currently driving the number of cases, and kids as well. So I'm hoping the Pfizer vaccine gets approved very soon, 100% efficacy. But always remember, you know, we don't know what's lurking out there. And our ability to detect variants in this country is compromised. So the other possibility the cases are going up is maybe we have undetected variants. So it's very important to maintain your mitigation responses as well.
And again, it seems like we are moving back to what we used to call normal. Many of the airlines are announcing now, well, they're selling the middle seats right now. They're putting more flights on. TSA is saying that we are checking like it's going out of style. It's almost like it's over, but it's not. I mean, how do you qualify that?
Well, let me tell you, on my flight between Sao Paulo and New York last night, there were only 14 passengers. So I almost felt like I owned the entire American Airlines flight. They're just 14 people. So, you know, the travel is still not back to normal, but it will get, you know, definitely local flights and things more and more. But remember, just to keep maintaining the distance. I know, you know, understand, you know, airline companies are under a lot of pressure. They've lost billions of dollars across the world, actually. So that middle seat is now being used. But, you know, what I like to say is just when you open, it's sort of like a sliding process. And that's why I always recommend be in a position where you can slide in and slide out, which is you open, but also don't hesitate to close back. If things are not going the right way, don't hesitate to slide back and say, you know, we have to close. That's really important. The pressure of opening a state and saying, well, you know, the cases are going up, let's just wait and watch is a wrong approach. Just be able to slide back and say, well, things are not going well, close back again.
Should fully vaccinated people still wear a mask? And that, I'll leave you with that.
I think at this point they should. The reason is we don't know about other variants out there. Like I said, the United States doesn't have the ability to detect these variants effectively. I still think we should be wearing masks right now until we learn more information. Like I said, there's light at the end of the tunnel. 25% of Americans have gotten vaccinated. We're doing great. But not when the pandemic itself is still raging. Brazil, Chile, well, Chile, we had a great example where, you know, people all got vaccinated. Great, you know, the country was doing great, but no mitigation measures were taken, and bang, it's huge surges over there. So I hope the United States doesn't follow that example, and we just keep doing what we're doing right now.
Dr. Rajiv Fernando, thank you so much for what you do. It's been an absolute pleasure. We're still going to keep you on. You're not getting off that easily, and we appreciate everything. We appreciate everything you do. Once again, the great Dr. Rajiv Fernando, talking a little bit about COVID-19. Doc, you have a great day. Appreciate it. I'm your host, Tom Salero.
And stay safe, Long Island. Take care now. Bye.
I'm your host, Tom Salero. Thanks for joining us. This is our Monday edition. Everybody have a good day, safe day. See you all tomorrow.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing to stray right through the city that doesn't sleep.